Good evening, everyone. Sorry, can we just welcome everyone? Because I know, just say hello to someone to your right, to your left, give a hug, share some love, bless someone, put a smile on someone's face. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just quite instructive for us to look at the word for this season from Isaiah 43, verse 18. This is not one going to be talking to us about. We're going to have a very short and quick talk, and then we're going to have a quick period of questions and answers if there are any questions. But if we look at Isaiah 43 verse 18, if you skip back three steps to Isaiah 43 verse 15, when God said that he was going to do a new thing in 18 and 19, and he said that something new would spring forth, in 15, he started by talking about himself. And he said, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct and they are quenched. Now, God was first of all talking about himself, making us to understand that it's not just a random person that's promised a new beginning. It's not just like as if he's just saying something. But he's saying that he's the mighty one that comes with a very strong hand. And I want someone to hold on to it because we're going into a season of retreat. It is very important for us to know who is calling us into a new season. It is very important for us to remember that it's the God who speaks and no one can question. He's the one that opens a door that no one can shut. And if he shuts a door, no one can open it. He's the one that turns things around and he does it at his own will. Who can question him? Is God all by himself? So when he's talking about a new beginning, remember that he's the God that we can run to, our refuge, our strength, our rock, our El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, the one who sits in the heavens of the heavens and makes the earth his footstool. That's the one who has called us onto a new season. That is a word for someone. If you're getting ready for this retreat period, just remember, it's a new season, and it is God who called us, and he's not around to joke. He's serious. Amen. We'll be studying from 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. This, I promise, will be very quick. I've not given it a title. So, but let's just read 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. This was Paul talking, and he said, For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. May the Lord just speak to us tonight in the name of Jesus. My key focus is on verse 7. And here, Paul was saying that, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my own course. I'm reading from KJV. And I have kept the faith. And I was just, I've been asking myself that, okay, what do we share on? I've diligently gone over so many things. And this particular verse speaks a lot to me. Because here, we're talking about someone who had gone through all sorts. At this point, Paul knew that he was going to be leaving. And he was writing to Timothy. And if you go through all the points he was talking about, Timothy standing and admonishing Timothy. And then here, he said he had fought a good fight. And it makes me to understand that really, we've been called to a good fight. And what's the definition of a good fight, really? What is really, if he has said he's fought a good fight, that means there could be a bad fight. So, he said he has fought a good fight. And I was reflecting that even when you fight a good fight, whatever fight is it, you would have scars. You may have to rebuild, because even if you win, you'll be tired. You may need some rest after a while. And here Paul was saying that he has fought a good fight. If you look at 2 Timothy 2, 2 to 5, please. No, it's much easier with this book because I'm already on 2 Timothy. I've just flipped to 2, 5. Are you there? Okay. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he striveth lawfully. The husbandman, okay, that's, no, 2 to 5, sorry. So, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Now, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So that means when you're fighting a good fight, you're fighting, because it said here that we are good soldiers, and the soldiers fight at the command of a particular lord or someone who is actually directing. And what Paul was saying here is that he did not actually fight his own fight. He fought a fight, because he was still admonishing Timothy in this 2 Timothy 2, that he fought a fight that he was called onto. And if you look at Ephesians 6:10, it tells us about the how to stand and how to be able to fight. He talks about how we use faith as a shield to take away the fiery darts of the enemy. He talks about the fact that how we run with truth. He talks about our righteousness. Peace. Can you go on to Ephesians, please? So, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. So, if you want to know a good fight, it must be something that brings out truth. If you are doing something and you have to pad it a bit, and there's a bit of lie in it, you are not fighting a good fight. Whatever it is, I mean, whatever challenges may come to us in life, whatever it is that it may be, it could be an immigration challenge, it could be anything. If truth is not at it, it's not a good fight. So I'm just going to point out the qualities of a good fight. He said, having the breastplate of righteousness. If something that you are in currently brings unrighteousness in you, then it's not literally a good fight. If whatever you are involved in does not literally lead into peace, if you are not an advocate of peace, that literally is not a good fight. And this comes in so many ways, because sometimes we like to spiritualize things, but at the back of our mind, we raise some turmoil, we agitate some things. If whatever it is does not bring peace, be rest assured that it is not a good fight. I will stop on the next one. And above all, taking the shield of faith, which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I think I would take a good fight of faith for the title for today. And we are still going back to 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. And we are focusing on 7. So fighting a good fight, we know what a good fight is. We know what it looks like. We understand that we've been called onto a journey, which is a fight. And we know that we do not fight flesh. We are not fighting our colleagues. We are not angry with ourselves. We are fighting the devil. It's a war against principalities and powers. And it's only God that can help us to fight it. But the second bit that caught me in this part is, he said, I have finished my course, if you look at KJV. And I realized that sometimes when we are fighting and when we are on a race, or when we are on a journey, we've got this cloud of witnesses on us looking. We sometimes are not running our own course. We sometimes are copying other people's courses. We sometimes despise our own course. So God has called us onto a race. And when I was coming in the car, I was reflecting, and I said, do you know that sometimes they do Olympics in different countries? So there will maybe a year when they do it in a temperate country where the weather is great. And there may be a year when they do it in, let's say, South Africa, where the temperature is very high. But you know that the person that ran the 100-meter race in South Africa and the one that ran the 100-meter race in Greece when the temperature was really good, you know that the end result, when they set the time, it is still that same gold medal that they're going to get. The record that you set in South Africa is going to be, they're not going to say because you ran it in 29 degrees temperature, and that the person that ran in Greece ran it at 20 degrees temperature, that the medal will be different, or something will be different. So, if God has called you onto a journey that is at a temperature of 25 degrees, and you are so concerned about the fact that people are on a journey of 18 degrees, or you feel like as if your course is a little bit different, we need to realize that it is God who sets the path, and he sets it for his own purpose, for his own reason. And that we run our own course and our own race. And when we run it, the final thing that Paul said is that he kept the faith. And I was thinking about it, that why did he say he kept the faith? Because when you have a fight, you could keep spoils. You could keep the bitterness. You could keep the faults. You could keep fear. You could keep anything from any fight. But the ultimate thing that God is asking us in this good fight of faith is for us to keep the faith. That no matter what comes to us, no matter battles we are faced with, no matter what it is, he has called us to keep the faith. That is the most important bit of the fight. And that's the bit that the devil always attacks, because it makes us to focus on the fight itself. It makes us to focus on the race itself, not looking at what is it that is the crown of righteousness at the end of the day. And that faith that God sees that gives us that crown. The question is, on this race, what are you really keeping? Faith is what matters the most. Here, I was just searching through the future, and I realized that you need faith to be able to do everything. Faith in God to be able to live, to wake up even when things are tough and you cannot move. Faith to be saved. It takes faith for us to be able to believe in Jesus. It takes faith for us to be able to fight. It takes faith for us to be able to love. That was one that even tripped me, because in 1 Timothy 1:5, when Paul was admonishing, he was talking about faith again to be able to love. It takes faith to stay united as brethren. It takes faith to do, think about it. And what the devil wants on this journey, on this fight, is for us to keep the scars, keep the pain, keep the bitterness, keep unforgiveness. The first year when I came into Liverpool, I remember Pastor talking about garbage and baggage and us having to dump. The devil wants us to keep so many things except for that faith. And what is that faith itself? Hebrews 11 talks about faith. And you will see the reason why the devil wants us to keep other things except for faith. I promise it's going to be very short because we're going to have questions. It's actually meant to be questions and answers. So it's just a word of admonition. Something very short for us to think about. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. And if you continue, you see that even when the old man of faith, starting from Abel, it was faith that made God to count righteousness for them. If we look at when we talked about the armor, that we should take on the armor, it was faith that helps you to fight and take away all the fiery darts. So that means when the enemy wants to fight, it's your faith that upholds you, that keeps you standing. So the first thing it does when you are on a battleground, if I know that faith is the most critical thing, if I know that faith is what God sees in you that counts you righteous and counts you to be just, like it did for Abraham and like what the word said here for Abel, and when they were counting all the great men of old, like Noah, when they were talking about how they held on to faith, what do you think the devil is going to want to fight first? It's to be able to fight your faith, your trust in God, your ability to be able to stand and believe the word of God, the word that God has spoken. Because he knows that once he's taken the faith away, then the fiery darts of the enemy can come and they can have a free flow because you don't have a shield again. Once you've taken the faith, it takes faith to be able to do anything. It takes faith to be able to serve God. It takes faith to be able to pray. It takes faith to be able to wait for an answer. Question is, are we fighting a good fight? Whatever we are doing currently, is it bringing peace? Is it a key to righteousness? Is it born of truth? And I want us to ask ourselves these questions. I mean, because we have various fights, many fights that we have, random fights. You've got issues that maybe you've got... On one side, issues with maybe school fees. You've got on one side, you've got your exams. You've got so many things that we fight in different corners. Work, at home. Sometimes husband and wife, you've got your own issues. You're fighting the devil on so many things. But is it bringing truth, righteousness, faith? Or is it killing the faith? Or is it bringing unrighteousness And is it bringing lies, really? And number two is, are you running your own course? Are you allowing other people to dictate to you? Are you looking at what others are doing to determine what you should be doing? Or are you running that course that God has laid for you? Because at the end of the day, I feel that a lot of people would finish the race, but they've not finished their own race. They probably run the race for their friends, for where they are going to, for maybe their parents, their own selfishness, maybe for greed. Are you on your own course? And are you satisfied with your own course? Are you saying, Lord, that you've judged me faithful to be able to put me on this path? Because at the end of the day, irrespective of where people are on this race, the utmost end is for us to have a crown of righteousness with God. And on this race, are we allowing the devil to be able to attack our faith? Are we keeping that faith, or are we keeping all the garbage along the way? It's with faith that we can do all things. With faith, if you read through 11, they talked about how all the great men of old stood in the place of faith. And I was like, so when Abel was offering, so he was actually offering it in faith to God, following the principles and the will of God, knowing fully well that this is his God. Let the devil not take your faith even in this season. Keep hold onto it strongly, because that is at the heart of the battle. That is what the enemy is struggling for. Don't give up on God even in this season. Stand, even when you have done all. Stand. The promise is for an appointed time. Let us hold on to God and let us keep the faith. Father, Lord, we thank you for your short word today. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. We give you all the praise. Lord, we pray that this word, Lord, you make it able to expand in our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, teach us more. Help us, Lord, to be able to search the scriptures, to grow in faith, to understand much more what you are speaking. Lord, I know that you want to reveal even greater things unto your children. Lord, help us, Lord, even in this season, to be able to receive what you're saying, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, by faith, we enter as a body into a new season. Because you said it, and you are the one who has judged us faithful. And by you, Lord, by faith, we enter into this season in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So